Good morning, I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. The Rhode Island Board of Education has approved a policy allowing armed police on state college campuses. Officials at the University of Rhode Island have pressed for the measure to speed up police response time, especially after a gun scare earlier this spring. But URI faculty opposed the move, saying it would amount to a misuse of taxpayer funds. The board measure calls for each institution to make its own decision about arming campus police. The community college system says it does not plan to arm officers. Rhode Island College has not yet decided. A Woonsocket City Councilor is sounding off about a plan to raise property taxes to close a budget deficit. Councilman Roger Gillette says the State Budget Commission, now running Woonsocket's finances, is hurting city residents.
I'm totally against it. Okay, let me say it this way. 50, 60, or maybe close to 70% of the people of the city of Woonsocket cannot afford even 1 cent tax increase. The five-year plan that the Budget Commission is putting together is going to kill a lot of people financially in the city of Woonsocket.
The plan calls for a five-year tax increase that will cost the average property owner $240 million per year. Supporters say it is needed to stabilize the city budget, which is now $17 million in the red. The General Assembly has approved the tax increase, and it is expected to take effect this summer. For the first time, Rhode Island's insurance commissioner has directed health insurers to disclose what they pay for health care services. But as Rhode Island Public Radio's Kristen Gourlay reports, that information won't necessarily be directly available to patients.
Insurance Commissioner Chris Kohler issued a bulletin requiring health insurers or carriers to tell health care providers on request what they pay other providers for similar services. The idea is to give doctors the information they need to help patients make the most cost-effective decisions about their health care. Kohler says health care providers are being asked more frequently to help control costs.
And yet when they ask carriers for information, they are told, well, we cannot disclose that because we've signed these non-disclosed contracts with other providers. And the providers actually came to us for help.
So Kohler's office issued the bulletin requiring that disclosure by this summer. By next spring, he's asked insurers to come up with a plan to disclose more information directly to consumers. The ruling isn't law, but Kohler's office has some regulatory tools to encourage compliance. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Authorities in Pennsylvania say a University of Rhode Island student missing for more than a week has been found in Pennsylvania. State police are not releasing many details about where 21-year-old Matthew Royer was located. They also say the family is asking for privacy. Royer vanished after leaving his apartment in Rhode Island, and he was then spotted in Pennsylvania. Royer was supposedly returning home to suburban Philadelphia. And it is now illegal to feed coyotes on all of Aquidneck Island after the Newport City Council joined Middletown and Portsmouth in approving a ban on the practice. The measure comes in an attempt to control the coyote populations and to reduce their interactions with humans and domestic animals. Leaving food outside will be in violation of the ordinance, with the exception of raised bird feeders. Potter League for Animals Executive Director Christy Smith says this is the right move.
You can control the coyotes and reduce their population by forcing them to hunt for their natural food and sort of natural prey and looking for mice and other small animals and eating berries.
Critics question the effectiveness of the initiative. Anyone in violation will be faced with a $500 fine.
Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is the investigative reporter for WPRI-TV, Channel 12, Tim White. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome the new chairman of the Republican Party of Rhode Island, Mark Smiley. Thank you for joining us, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Rhode Island teachers have ramped up their criticism of State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist, calling for her contract to not be renewed. The commissioner's supporters call her a strong advocate for education. Scott, how do you see the stakes in this fight, and how will it affect efforts to improve public education
in
Rhode Island?
It's really hard to discern what's just a labor and management, joust and what's real here. I think it's kind of like baseball sometimes. She wants 3 years. Her agent wants the long-term contract, and I think that some folks maybe would say, let's compromise and give her 2 years. Now, will she accept that? I don't know. I think there's probably a middle ground here with both sides. can work it out. Certainly the teachers do have some valid concerns. On the other hand, she's a change agent, and sometimes that means that you're going to frost some people, and she certainly has. However, she seems to have made some good contributions, and I think that the governor's behind her and the education board. So I expect that she'll be re-upped in some manner.
Mark, it seems like education in Rhode Island does need a change agent. So how would you see the outlook here and the stakes of this fight?
Well, I come from the quality improvement efforts within healthcare, and what I've seen over the past decade is very similar to what I see in this, is that the initial efforts weren't perfect, and that's fine. You just continue to improve the process and how you track it. So if the teachers are complaining that there's too much bureaucracy, too much red tape, then you need to apply a lean management style and figure out what is actually adding value to the project and what is not, and get rid of what is not so that you relieve the effort of those teachers. But you don't want to stop this effort at all. You want to continue on. You want to refine it. I've seen recently that Deborah Gist's effort haven't really had the effect on minorities in our area. So now she needs to go ahead and focus on what would change that and try to come up with ways to benchmark it and achieve those goals. So you don't want to stop this process.
Tim, I know you keep a close eye on public education in Rhode Island. How do you see the stakes of this fight?
Well, I look at the stakes politically as very high, especially for Governor Lincoln Chafee. And I agree with Scott. It really matters how long this contract's going to be. Chafee has already expressed support for Deborah Gist, but is it going to be a 1 or 2 year contract, or is it going to be a 3 year deal, which is going to upset labor? He needs labor if he's going to run again for governor in 2014. Obviously, the NEA, AFT, not a big fan of Commissioner Gist. And you have to keep in mind, NEA is now part of the AFL-CIO. So that means NEA, AFT together represents more than a third of the AFL-CIO, and that is Link Chafee's ground game right there. So if he gives her 1 year, 2 year, they might look more favorably, but if it's a 3 year deal, that's going to be tough.
Moderate Party founder Ken Block this week announced he'll be a candidate for governor again in 2014. After getting 6.5% of the vote in 2010, Block says he thinks he can do much better this time around. Mark, you're obviously concerned with electing a Republican governor in Rhode Island. Does Ken Block interfere or cut into the effort of your party's nominee?
I believe that he did to a certain extent in the last election. The thing I'd like to point out is a general lack of experience as being the executive of a government. Successful business owners is a pretty good indicator that you'll be able to handle that job. But there will be people in this that have actual executive experience at running a government, and I believe that's who we need to start talking about.
Tim, Ken Block is talking a big game. Do you think he can compete on a close to level field with some of the heavyweights out there who we expect to run, like Angel Tavares, Gina Raimondo, and probably Alan Fung as the Republican candidate?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it depends on what the field looks like. It appears that Ken Block has tacked to the right a little bit in recent months. If anything else, Lincoln Chafee should send Ken Block a fruit basket because Lincoln Chafee, it appears, needs a PAC ticket. He needed it in 2010. Remember, he won with 36% of the vote. So the more the merrier for him.
Scott, when we had Ken Block in here a couple of weeks ago, he disputed the idea that he was a spoiler in 2010. How do you look at that?
Well, what do you expect him to say? Let's be real here. Mr. Block is a smart guy. He's a successful business guy, but he's got no political base. And he's never been elected to anything, not even a school committee. And, you know, I hate to say this, but the Republican Party in this state too often in the past, and now Mr. Block fits this perfectly, another rookie who thinks that being governor is an entry-level job. Never elected to the state senate, never elected town administrator, doesn't really have the kind of political knowledge that you really need to run a statewide race. And also, he's going to raise a lot of money.
To push back a little, though, Scott, hasn't Ken shown how an interested citizen can really raise the profile of issues like the master lever?
Sure, but the master lever and trying to fix a broken state's economy are two very different things.
And by the way, I do think he's going to do better, just predictions, it's early, better this time around. He needs 5% for the state to still recognize his party. He got 6%, I think, last time.
Six and a half.
I think he'd probably do better in 14.
Let's get a quick comment from Mark here on your party's expected gubernatorial candidate, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, who says he's taking a look at a run. How do you think Alan Fung matches up against the other expected candidates?
Well, he is an experienced executive of a government, and he's a successful one. He's done well with unions. He's run the gamut. He's held his budget down. This year, there was no tax increase at all. He is doing what it is that we need to do on a statewide basis. So I really am hopeful that he will get into this race and get in soon.
Let's go around the panel with some questions for our special guest, State Republican Chairman Mark Smiley. I'll kick it off. Mark, there are only 11 Republicans in the 113-member General Assembly. Will this be your top focus moving forward in elections? And if so, how do you plan to increase those numbers?
Absolutely, it's our top focus. We're looking to attain the ability to sustain a veto and a governor's veto. Regardless who the governor is, at that point, we become part of the discussion. Right now, we're really not part of the discussion. We find out what goes on when you find out what goes on, when the Providence Journal is finding out what's going on. They just release a press release. We're going to do this. We're not part of the discussion. So we have to get to that point first, and that is the primary focus.
Let's go to Scott.
How are you recruiting candidates? So one of the problems in the past has been too many unopposed Democrats.
Correct. And we have been focusing in the past on just finding the perfect candidate. But we do just need some people to come forward and run and make sure that they don't go unopposed, because when they are unopposed, they go out and they help their friends who are opposed. So now we're getting double teamed. We need to stop that. Make everybody run. That's better for the electorate. It's better for the entire system if everybody has to run every time. So we are looking to do that.
Let's go to Tim.
If memory serves, Chairman, you expressed interest in closing off the primary, so Republicans only for the primary to vote. How important is that to you now? How hard are you going to push to close the primary?
I will not push that at all.
Okay.
At this point, I think it's the right move. I think on both sides of that argument, they realize long term it's a good thing for us. But we do not have the money or the strength right now to be able to sell that message to voters. I've spoken to many voters who think that closing the primary is actually changing their rights. They don't understand how the primary system really works, and that it is not that we're going to change the independent's right to walk in and just vote any way they want to. They never really had that right in the first place. We've allowed them to do that over the years. So there's a precedent there, but we have to then be able to turn around and educate the voter that all we're really asking you to do is decide you want to be a Republican before you walk in. That's all.
We're running short on time, but one other topic in the news this week is how the state pension fund under Gina Raimondo has paid about $16 million in fees to hedge fund managers. That's on $1 billion in investments out of the state pension fund portfolio. Scott, what do you think? How does this play in the governor's race?
You know, it all depends on what the returns are. I think some people are going to question whether or not $1 billion of state pension money dumped into these hedge funds is a good idea or not. And it's kind of an esoteric kind of thing. What concerns me more is the fact that there's secrecy still surrounding just who Engage Rhode Island is and who's funding them. I think that some transparency would be a really good thing here.
Quickly, Mark Smiley, what is your reaction to this debate about the state's investment in pension funds and the level of transparency on it?
My concerns are the same as Scott's. It's the transparency issue. Reality is that if you look at the raw numbers, she didn't do so bad. I'm being told that actually her investments haven't been so bad over the last few years. So in that regard, it's good. However, at the same time, we should know what she's doing.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Tim White from WPRI-TV, Channel 12.
Thanks for having me.
And Mark Smiley, the new chairman of the State Republican Party.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.